everyone, a trash talking spork is trending here at Disflix Tickets. I'm Cassie, your host, and for this episode, I will be reviewing Toy Story 4. To Disflix Tickets, an extra episode from Disflix and Tidbits, where I, Cassie, tell you all about how I felt about the newest Disney film that came out in theaters. Any warning for those who are listening to this before watching the movie, I tend to separate any spoilers towards the end of the podcast in case you don't want to know any of the details. I aptly name it the Spoiler Zone and will let you know when it starts. On June 21st, the first day of summer, summer solstice, National Selfie Day, and one of the most popular days to release a Disney/Pixar film, Toy Story 4 was released into theaters to finally cap off the Toy Story franchise for good. Maybe? As the title says, this is the fourth installment of the very first Pixar film, Toy Story, that was released back in 1995. Toy Story was something that was remarkable in its own right, being the first feature-length film to be entirely computer animated. For those of us 90s kids, it was a modern marvel in terms of animation, seeing it as the next step in storytelling. It wasn't meant for the movies, and was only seen as special effects that reality wasn't quite able to accomplish. No one thought that this video game medium would ever work as an entire movie. We all thought about it, but Pixar did it. At that time, Toy Story came out. It was an amazing sight to behold. To see technology create scenery, objects, humans, toys, to appear lifelike. As I mentioned, video game creators were doing it for years, but Toy Story felt different and awe-inspiring. If you go and look back at this movie today, it may kind of look ridiculous now. Especially how they did humans, something Pixar struggled with from the very beginning, especially clothes. That's why you always saw little of Andy's family or any of the extras in the background, always seeing feet or half of their bodies hidden from other objects. It's laughable today because Pixar has been topping themselves with each movie they come out with, especially showing their progression with the Toy Story sequels. You can see with each movie how the characters become so lifelike with all the details they've worked painstakingly on. And Toy Story 4 does not disappoint of how much they have paved the way for computer animated feature films. Not just in the technology, but in the storytelling as well. Toy Story 4 coming out is really a high point of the year for Disney movies in general. Already looking at the Disney films we just watched this year so far, Dumbo, Aladdin, Captain Marvel, Penguins, Avengers Endgame, and with the rest of the year with The Lion King, Maleficent 2, Frozen 2, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. That's not even counting Spider-Man Far From Home and all the now-purchased Fox entity films like Dark Phoenix, Spies in Disguise, and a slew of other action films under the Fox name. Yes, listening to that list and looking at it on paper, it's filled with sequels and remakes. There are only two original standalone films, yet one is a documentary, and the other could possibly have a sequel. Nevertheless, this is a big film year for Disney, and Toy Story 4 may just be that number one family film of the year. Toy Story 4 has the nostalgia to bring back older fans that grew up with the franchise, while also bringing in a younger audience that appeals to the toy and merchandising aspect of the film. You know, to get those butts in those seats for all to enjoy together because it has something for everyone. Pixar is doing what it does best, appeal to your nostalgia. It brings the humor for adults and kids alike, and it brings in those big voices with lots of character, and sincerely will make you cry in a room full of strangers. This movie does deliver. It will make you laugh out loud. It will have you smiling throughout. It will make you concerned, and it could possibly make you cry. A whole list of emotions during the runtime of 100 minutes. As I spoke about before, this movie is gorgeous from beginning to end. All that talk about Pixar struggling with making humans goes right out the window as if this movie was a love story of how much they have advanced from the first film in 1995. The close-ups of the human characters' faces, especially Bonnie, the small little girl that takes over Andy's toys at the end of Toy Story 3, You can see every freckle in her face, the specks of color in her eyes, and count every single eyelash she has. I found myself lost in all the little details of this film. I would just enjoy the story until I realized I was watching a computer animated film and caught myself questioning how they rendered such a spot-on piece of furniture in an antique shop. How clever Pixar was to put dust and spiderwebs in places you would really miss. Just, I would praise them for how well they made water, moisture, and combined them with mud and debris in a gutter to make a specific action that reacted to a specific reaction. And I know how silly that sounds. I'm sure if you watch the movie or going to watch this movie, you probably won't notice these things as much as I did, just because I'm more fascinated by the computer animated part of it. But if you haven't seen it or plan to watch it a second or third time, look out for these certain little things. Admire Woody's stitching, Buzz's wear and tear showing his stickers scratched or starting to peel off, the fuzz from Jessie's hair that is made out of yarn, and even the plush from the new characters Ducky and Bunny. You could stare at that all day. Well, at least I could. As for what I actually think about the movie, may be considered a hot take. My opinion does not take away from the brilliance of this Toy Story film or franchise, because I still consider it a modern marvel and probably the most beautiful film you will see this year for a family film. It should be enjoyed by families. Pixar fans, Toy Story fans, or any fans of animation, or love a good heartwarming story. I feel everyone would love this movie. I, on the other hand, thought it was just okay. I did laugh at some jokes, I found myself smiling through the majority of the film, and I even did shed a couple tears, but what stands out about this film is the computer animation. This is the one thing that will bring me back to watch it. To stare at all those little details, I'd just like go gaga over it. The story was just okay for me. Not as memorable as, say, the other films, although that is attributed to my own personal thoughts, because what this film made me do was rewatch all the past films and made me realize that the Toy Story films aren't really my favorite Pixar films. My top favorite Pixar films are Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Coco, Finding Nemo, and Ratatouille, for reference. So that could be why I didn't really become attached to this film or frankly look forward to watching this film in the first place. So I'm curious, for those who did like all the other Toy Story films and watched this one, if they believe the story worked well with it being the end of the series. Well, possibly the end of the series. We all thought a Toy Story 3 was the end of the series. I will go on in more detail why the story bugged me in the spoiler zone, but from my point of view, why it didn't resonate with me. But please don't take my opinion to heart. It's still a good movie, and the majority of the listeners or Disney Pixar fans are going to love this film regardless. The new characters in this film probably do sell this movie and add to the charm of it. The original Toy Story characters are great too, but Forky, Ducky, Bunny, and a few other newcomers are the ones that stole the show, I think. So there are some emotional scenes towards the end, so be prepared for that. And if you do plan on going in IMAX, be aware that there's some loud moments. If you plan on bringing younger children, it might spook them, possibly. So yes, I do recommend you watch this in theaters if you are a Pixar fan, Toy Story fan, looking for a film to take your kids or for your family, or even actually date night. It's a really good date night movie. It's fun for everyone, and those who haven't seen the other films actually won't be lost with this one. They kind of catch everyone up to speed with this film. What these new viewers will be missing is all the character development from the OG Andy toys to how they act in the way they act now, but it won't leave the new viewers confused about why certain toys did it. There's a few like callbacks to the other films, but it won't leave a new viewer lost. You know what I mean? If I had to rank this film from a scale of 1 to 10, I would say an 8, which honestly, that's really generous with how much I dislike the story, but I made it higher because I believe you and many others will enjoy this, and you will gladly add it to your collection when it comes to Blu-ray or digital. The characters are lively, it's beautifully animated, the nostalgia and the feelings these inanimate objects are real and genuine. It makes you feel for them. It has a great message that everyone could relate to, and well, it's Pixar. It will make you feel all the feels. So in the spoiler zone, I'll be discussing certain plot points, certain scenes that stand out, and I'll get into detail why I did not like the story and what my personal feelings were while talking about certain characters that I probably shouldn't mention to people who have not seen the film yet. So, spoiler zone starts now.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
Oh, she's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
So welcome to the spoiler zone, where I kind of just break down the film a little bit. Not too much, because you've already seen the film if you're at this point, or if you just want to spoil it to see if it's the one for you, I guess. As I said in the spoiler-free part of this review, was I didn't like the story. I have said it many times before on this podcast. I have said it on other podcasts where I was a guest. I've said it on Twitter several times. I was not happy over the fact that there was a Toy Story 4. I did not understand the reason for it until I heard about what it was supposed to be, but I don't know. It's like hearsay. Those of you who did not know, a couple years back, like I want to say 2016, 17, there was a viral video explaining like the tragic backstory behind Andy and the toys. It came out from a YouTube channel by the name of Super Carlin Brothers, and was saying that he was friends with the late Pixar writer Joe Ramph. Explaining like all the little plot holes that fans have dug up about Toy Story, and it explained this really tragic backstory that a lot of people really liked, myself included, about like Andy's dad, why he wasn't there, and that this was just a backstory to set everything up. It later was turned out to be a fake, but I and probably many other fans were holding on hope that this is what Toy Story 4 was like a super prequel to all of the Toy Stories, and it kind of made sense. It kind of like put all these pieces into place, because with Toy Story 3, we had such a great ending. It was such a perfect ending that it started with Andy and it ended with Andy giving his toys away to a good home, and we knew that the toys were going to be okay. By introducing another sequel, you kind of like throw that ending into the trash, and it's not like super sweet and end-like, you know? You kind of take that away. So why continue it? As time went on and we started to figure out that this was John Lasseter's last final thing with Pixar, and it was his idea to go about the story of Bo Peep, I was kind of getting a little worried. Not worried for Pixar, because Pixar always figures out a way to make everything beautiful and cry-worthy, and you knew that they were going to do a good job. I never doubted the fact that they were going to ever botch a movie. I mean, Good Dinosaur is probably the worst Pixar movie out of their whole catalog, but if you rewatch it, it's not really that bad of a movie. It's gorgeous, but the story was lacking there, and it probably went way into a fantastical means that people didn't buy it. I knew that it wasn't going to be a bad story. That's not what I was worried about. What I was worried about is that it kind of took away that Toy Story 3 ending, which in a way it didn't, but the fact that they had to bring back Bo Peep, it just felt like it was being forced. I wasn't really happy with the fact that they were bringing back Bo Peep, But instead of bringing that up to begin with, they kind of forced Forky into it. Forky is now the new mascot of Toy Story. I don't know if you noticed this, but he's everywhere now. He's in merchandising, and he was in the first preview, and they were forcing Forky on everyone. And I'm not sure why, because as you see in the movie, he is like main character for the first half of the movie, and then he's just kind of there. He's used as a red herring for the movie. Like, y'all think it's like, has to do with him. And then when he gets kidnapped by Gabby Gabby, we'll all assume that Gabby Gabby's like this, the evil big bad, just like Lotso in Prospector from Toy Story 2. You just think that she's going to turn around and be evil, but she was kind of outright evil. But it was all a red herring. It was all to sell merchandise, and that's why Forky was there. Forky was used front and center, just like in the movie, how Woody made him front and center to make him more useful and still likable. And they did it on us. They did it on the audience, and that's not what I like. The whole Bo Peep thing, they were like forcing the whole Bo Peep idea on us. That's what it felt like to me. I know, like, other people probably don't think that way. But yeah, it just, I thought it was cool about the lost toy thing, but with the whole Gabby Gabby plot, it kind of got lost in the middle of the movie and then was brought back at the end as the whole finisher. And I was just like, it kind of falls apart. If you take away all the beautiful animation and you put it in a 2D, say you use the animation from Home on the Range, all flat colors, it's kind of a newish style, and then you put this story into it, take away all the nostalgia of what we had from the characters and put that story onto a flat piece of animation, would you still like this story? Or do you think it was a little forced on nostalgia? Because we all wondered what Bo Peep was. I understand that. But they kind of already dealt with it in Toy Story 3, where they said that she got sold off in a garage sale, which they kind of twisted the story. They twisted a lot of things from the past stories to kind of fit this narrative, because they knew it's been a long time since the other movies. The story doesn't do it for me, and the ending, as much as like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen has hyped it up as long with Disney and Pixar, it wasn't that impactful ending that Toy Story 3 had. And that's why I didn't have a problem with it, but I just kind of felt like empty when that happened. I didn't feel like it was a sense of relief. It was done. I didn't feel that at all. And that was my big problem. But yeah, I did not like the ending. I did not like the story. There were certain aspects of the movie that I really did like. Gabby Gabby's story was so heart-wrenching. I wish she was in it more than Forky. And I understand that Forky had to be there for Woody's sake. But Gabby Gabby's story was more front and center for me and more interesting to me than the whole Forky thing. I don't know why, but it just, it resonated with me more. And so, like, towards the end of Gabby Gabby's plot line, where she finds the lost girl, as soon as that lost girl is on there, I started bawling. And that could be mom hormones. It definitely was probably mom hormones, because I instantly thought of my kid if he was lost. And the fact that a toy was there to help him, I would just be bawling my eyes out. And it was just such a heartwarming and so sad feeling that when she got reunited with her parents, I was just bawling openly in a theater. I love that ending more than the actual ending. Yeah, that was my big cry moment, definitely. The new characters stood out to me, just like I said with Gabby Gabby. Forky was really great. Bunny and Ducky were really great. I could give two licks about the other Andy toys that were in the RV the whole time. I mean, they're like, we had Buzz, you know, and we had Woody front and center, and then we had Bo Peep. Bo Peep was a good character, but still, like, I was looking towards Forky and Gabby Gabby and Ducky and Bunny rather than those guys. At one point, I thought Bo Peep was going to turn on everyone, because you know how Pixar and Disney has that, like, twist villain at the end. And I know there was a lot of speculation that Bo Peep was the villain. I was kind of hoping for more substance from her, and I know she had a lot of complex background, and she was stronger, and she was, like, this tough female character. I understood what they were trying to do there, but I didn't find myself liking her as much as the other new characters. Duke Kaboom is probably my favorite character of the whole movie. He was great. Keanu Reeves is back, and I love it. He was very one note. He had a complex story arc in such a short amount of time, and I was just in awe of that. I love the fact that he is based off of Evel Knievel, and if you don't know, Evel Knievel's from Montana. I used to live in his hometown, so it kind of resonated with me a little bit, and plus I had kind of those action figures too that were on bikes, not like exactly like Duke Kaboom, but I had stuff like little toys like that. That's why I liked him. It's the nostalgia. Nostalgia always creeps up on you on movies, especially with toys. So that's why he resonated with me. I can't say enough about the animation. As I said before in the spoiler-free zone, I love the animation. The fact that they had every single detail and it just stood out to you. The beginning was amazing. How RC, that remote control car that was from Toy Story 1 that they decide to bring back all of a sudden was stuck in the gutter. How the leaves and debris were caught in his wheel. It was just amazing. And I could just sit there and like, you can turn all the music and sound off and just, I want to stare at that thing constantly and pick out every single detail. And I want to talk to Pixar and show me how they did it. Show me every single scene. From that first scene, they got me hooked on the animation. Another key detail that I really loved is Gabby Gabby's eyes. If you ever held one of those dolls where the eyeballs are weighted, and so every time she blinked, her eyeballs would shake a little bit until they settled down. Every time she blinked, and that's what happened when you kind of shook the doll up and down, they were weighted so the eyes would always be open. And so when you laid them down, the eyes would close. And the fact that they took so much detail and care into the fact that they got that accurate is just amazing. Another thing was the cat. If you remember the dog from Toy Story 1, it's just amazing how they did that cat. The cat's in there for probably a total of 5 minutes. You see her in the trailer, or him. I can't remember if it's a boy or a girl. But if you saw her in the trailer, you can tell that they're just like miles apart. And I have a sinking suspicion that they just wanted to show how far they've come from Toy Story 1. Because they redid Andy in the first montage. Which the montage was excellent, by the way. They made me gasp out in nostalgia and awe. Because that thing where I said where new viewers will not be lost. Well, they had that first montage in the beginning to catch you up to speed. Going back to the time of when Andy was a little kid at about 8 or 11. And he's swinging Woody around and he's playing with the other toys, and then Bo Peep was there. They were redoing all that animation, and it's probably why they redid the, or they did this sequel, is to show how far they've come. I have a feeling that I'm kind of right, because look how much they're pushing this film. Any store you go into, any big box store you go into, you're gonna see Toy Story 4 merchandise. They're in Happy Meals. I went to Joann's today and they had a section of Toy Story toys. I don't know why they're there because it's a craft store and they're selling actual merchandise licensed toys in Joann's. Oh my gosh, it's just everywhere. Settle down, Pixar. Yeah, there was a few funny moments. I was laughing out loud a couple times. My favorite quote possibly is when Rex says, "My panic is attacking." And I just laughed out loud. That was probably my favorite quote of the whole movie because it resonated with me. Those are all my pros for the movie. I did have a con about the storyline, but here's some more of my cons. Buzz Lightyear being dimwitted? Was he always dimwitted? I watched the films, but I didn't really catch up on that. Yeah, he's dimwitted in the first one because he's kind of like brainwashed into thinking he was a toy, probably from new manufacturing standards that they had with the toy. But was he as that dimwitted in like the last two, or did I just like completely block that out? They made it more so in this one by when Woody's like saying, use your inner voice, or someone said, use your inner voice. And he keeps pushing the buttons and like, I don't know. It just, that was weird to me. I thought that was an odd choice. Oh, another thing. I don't know if anybody noticed this if you follow me on Twitter, but I did say that I read the movie's children's book a month before this movie came out. Yeah, they released a children's picture book of the movie. So it had the whole plot right there. And out of curiosity, because I was hemming and hawing about it, and I was just like, you know what, I don't care if I'm spoiled at this point, I went ahead and read it. So I knew exactly what was going to happen, except for the ending. I don't know if you've read a children's book anytime recently, but they leave out a lot of details. It's always like four sentences per page while it's like big pictures. And another thing with these children's books, they kind of just end. Like, they're like, happily ever after, and end. How this book ended, it was Woody went off with Bo Peep and to help other lost toys. That's all it said. So I was kind of hoping for a big emotional ending. The book kind of stayed true to it. Like, yeah, we did have a big emotional ending with Woody and Buzz saying goodbye. I didn't feel it, but I'm sure other people will. But yeah, that book was out a month before this movie came out, and I can't believe they did it. That's another merchandising issue that I have with this film. A lot of Disney movies and a lot of Pixar movies do this. I remember that with other movies. Maybe I'm noticing it more now because my little boy is starting to notice these movies. He didn't go with me to the theaters because I don't think he is old enough to sit through a movie that long. I am noticing it, these animated films, a lot more because I have a son, but this feels like very in your face this time around. So I'm not sure why they're doing it. They're pushing it really, really hard. We still have cable for the next week, and my husband was just watching a show, and he turned to me, he's like, I just watched 3 Toy Story 4 commercials right in a row. What is going on? That's insane, Pixar. You need to slow down. We love you, Pixar. We love your stories. There's not gonna be any problem getting butts in the seats. Like, just noticing from Twitter, as opposed to Aladdin that came out last month, a lot more people are watching this movie in opening weekend than they did with Aladdin. So I don't know why they're worried. Maybe they aren't worried, or they're just like, this is the last hurrah, so get it while you can type of thing. I don't know. So that's it for my personal opinion review of the movie, my pros and cons, mostly the problems that I had with it. Like I said, it was just okay for me. The main star of the film was the animation, clearly. I would rewatch it just for that. Probably not in theaters, but I would definitely be buying this. It'll probably be on Disney Plus by the time it comes out, so I'll have that. But you'll just see when it comes out on Blu-ray or Disney Plus that you'll see a tweet from me saying, I'm gonna spend the next 3 hours just watching every single detail of this film. So I want to know what you thought of Toy Story 4. Since you were in the spoiler zone, you probably watched it already. So please let me know what your thoughts were on it. Do you think that this was a great ending to the franchise? And how would you rank this film against the other three? At this point, I would have to say 1, 3, 2, 4. Yeah, not by animation standards, by storytelling standards. That is my ranking. Also, I'm really curious about what your favorite scene or quote was from this movie for you. I say quote because, like I said before, that one line that resonated with me, Rex's My panic is attacking because that's me. There's always one quote that stands out for me in most movies, and I kind of hold on to it more than anything else. And so I want to know if you had a favorite quote from there, because there's a lot of funny lines from this film. Ducky and Bunny probably have a lot of people's favorites. So, and also tell me who your favorite character was out of film. Was it one of the OG Andy toys, or was it one of the new ones? You know, I have to admit, Forky was pretty darn hilarious. He was there for me, but Duke Kaboom was my favorite. Please let me know what you thought. I'm at DisFlixTidbit on Twitter. Remember, there's no S on the end. On Instagram, I'm DisFlixTidbits with the S on the end. Or you can email me at DisFlixAndTidbits@gmail.com. I am no longer using Facebook. I am kind of personally not using Facebook anymore. I just use it for a couple groups, and so I'm just not using that anymore. So you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Twitter, you can email me. I might think of a Discord if anybody is interested in that at all. But yeah, those are the ways to get a hold of me. Let me know what you thought. Let me know any questions or corrections or answers to any of the questions that I asked. Just let me know what you think of the last Toy Story movie. Maybe. Be sure to tune in for the next Disflix Tickets, which will be not a Disney movie, but Spider-Man Far From Home.